talking about unbelief, and that sounds like a real exciting thing. And last week I told you that, you know, sometimes you need to have your vegetables too, right? You can't just always have Dairy Queen. Unless you're my kids, they would love to have Dairy Queen all the time. But I blame them, but it's truly me. I would love to have Dairy Queen all the time. But it's not close enough to my house to get it all the time, so I don't. But we've been talking about what faith isn't, and that's unbelief. Faith is not unbelief. And the whole goal is to identify unbelief in our lives so we can eliminate it. Because unbelief, what does it do? It robs us from the blessings of God when we walk in unbelief. It hinders our ministry. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, that it's the reason people go to hell is because they choose not to believe. It's not because they were a murderer or a thief. It's because they chose not to believe. They were presented the gospel at some point in their lives, and they chose not to believe. So unbelief is powerful. We can always choose to believe God. We see in the Bible, this is going to be a review real quick, that it hindered Peter. He was walking on water, and then fear, doubt, and unbelief came in when he saw the waves, and he sank. It hindered the disciples when they said, why couldn't we cast out this devil? Jesus said it was because of your unbelief. It hindered Jesus where he could do no mighty miracles in his own hometown because of their unbelief. So unbelief is a hindrance to us, but it also hinders the ministry and the work of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. I was listening to a teaching. I want to give this story. If you've heard it before, I apologize, but it bears repeating. So while I was listening to the story, they're talking about this man who was in a wheelchair. He was in a wheelchair for 3 years because of an accident or whatever had happened. I don't know what had happened. I don't remember the details. But he went to a special meeting, a camp meeting. So this dates this story a little bit, right? And at the time, the meeting he was going to, they were labeled as the Holy Rollers, okay? So again, this dates the time frame. I'm not sure what that is when they use that term. But this is in the context of the story here. I'm not making any judgments or anything. I'm just relaying a story to you here. But he went to the meeting, and they prayed over this man in the wheelchair. And the man got up out of the wheelchair and was healed and walked out of the camp meeting. And it's a miraculous story of healing, right? And he walked out, and there for about a week, he was at home, and he was out of his wheelchair, and he was walking out of his wheelchair. And everyone and his family was excited. He was excited. They could see, you know, that healing was real and it took place. The man was walking out, and he was in a wheelchair for 3 years. And then a week later, his pastor came over. And his pastor said, I'm not doubting that something happened to you because I can see you were in a wheelchair and now you're not. But you went over there to that camp meeting, didn't you? And he goes, yes, I did. And they prayed for me, and now I'm out of this wheelchair. And the pastor looked at this man. And he didn't believe the same way. He didn't believe in healing for today. He looked at this man and he said, well, you know what? I would rather be sick all my life than healed by the devil. And that's what he told this man who was out of the wheelchair healed. And this was his pastor. This was the man he trusts. But the man didn't believe. He was in unbelief for the healing that took place for this man. The pastor was. And so the man who got healed out of the wheelchair started thinking about it for a little bit. And 3 days later, he was back in the wheelchair and lived that way the rest of his life. See, unbelief is powerful. When it says that there Jesus could do no mighty work, it wasn't because his heart of compassion and love would not do the work. It's because unbelief wouldn't allow the work to go forth. And so what did he do? He went around teaching. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And so he went around teaching to overcome that unbelief so there would be faith in the house. So like when men do open up the ceiling tiles and a man drops down who's a paralytic, Jesus then could speak to the man and say, arise, after he said his sins were forgiven. But if there was no faith in that place, the man would have just laid there and not been healed. Or as we talked about last week, when he went into the house and kicked out all those who were scoffing at him, who said the girl was dead, and they were laughing when he said, she's not dead, he's just asleep. He had to kick them out because they were full of unbelief before he laid hands on the girl and told her to rise, and she arose. We talked about the last couple of weeks, we have to identify what faith is not so we don't get hindered. In Exodus 14, we saw that unbelief is moved by what it sees, that it is fearful, it is negative, and it looks back to the past longing to go back there because those are the best days of your life and you feel like there's nothing better ahead of you. Well, that's not faith. If you don't believe there's something better ahead of you in your life and you believe the best has already happened, well, why would you continue on living, right? But this is part of the devil's deception. This is the way that he gets into people's lives and brings about depression and suicide because people don't feel they have anything to live for. They don't have faith or hope or an expectancy on God to move in their life. Well, we don't want to live that way. We want to live in faith. We want to live in belief. It says that, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We want to have joy in our lives. We can't have that if we have no faith for something better to come. That was in Exodus 14, had those examples. In Exodus 15, last week, we saw that unbelief blames and pressures men to do your bidding. Because you're not looking to God. The Israelites were pressuring Moses to give them water, pressuring Moses to give them food, pressuring Moses to deliver them from the Egyptians, pressuring Moses to go across the Red Sea. They weren't looking to God to be the deliverer. They're looking to man. And the problem is, when you look to man to deliver you, then you do what? You manipulate man to get your way. Because you feel that you have an end goal in mind. You see them as your access to getting that goal, and you'll stop at nothing. I shouldn't say you, but your flesh will stop at nothing at getting that goal met. And so unbelief pressures man so we get our way. In Exodus 16, we saw last week that unbelief murmurs and complains. And made the statement that it's impossible to complain in faith, right? There's never a moment where we're complaining and it's in faith. And sure enough, if you ever noticed that Ken and I were talking, that when you preach something or you're studying something, you have a chance to live it out before, during, and after. And so we went to St. Louis this weekend, and we went to the Arch. Anybody here been up in the Arch in St. Louis? Yeah. I made my kids go. I'm not sure they're excited that they went. I think I made the whole family go because I really wanted to go. I'd been years ago when I was 14, but I wanted to go back. I forgot just how small the Arch actually is on the inside. Now, it's huge, but the parts they let you go in is very small. Okay? And so, in my life, I wrestled in high school, and I was really good at it because fear would overcome me in claustrophobic situations. So, when somebody's trying to pin you, and you're bound up, and you can't move, you fight like crazy because I didn't want to be in that position. Now, I'm not saying it was a good reason why, I was good at wrestling. I'm just saying, as soon as those bay doors opened for that tram, and when I kid you not, five people fit in a space that was probably, 5 foot by 5 foot? I mean, it is tiny. I mean, my breath went away. And I started to, fear was trying to just come on me. And I took a step back. And then my little daughter, she was starting to have a little fear. She goes, "Mommy, we can just sing." I said, "Okay, we'll sing." We knew it was a 4-minute ride at the top. I said, "It's 4 minutes, Kenny." I'm telling myself this, trying to assure my daughter, "It's 4 minutes, Kenny." But it did. It come right back at me, that fear, that claustrophobic, that area. But I'm talking about unbelief, is afraid. It's moved by what it sees. All I saw was this tiny little thing. And unbelief complains, like, "Oh, I'm not going to do it. It's too small." There's all these opportunities for me not to go in faith that I was going to reach the top. And I kept telling my kids the whole day, "Hey, millions of people have been there by now. It's been open since 1967. We're okay. It's not going anywhere." They read, "It moves 7 feet each side. It's okay. It's not going anywhere." But the tram wasn't the worst part. When you get to the top, oh, man, it's probably, what was it? Again, I don't remember the dimensions. It's probably as big as a living room. Maybe a little longer. There's probably 85 people in my living room. And you're trying to get to these windows that are 7 inches tall and 17 inches wide just to look out over. And I was okay looking straight out, and so were my kids. They were wonderful. But when you kind of go all the way to the edge and look straight down, I was like, "Okay, I'm done. Let's go back." But we went to the Arch. I had all this opportunity to walk in unbelief or faith that we go up and come back down. I don't think I'll do it again. I told my kids, I said, "You did it. I gave you that experience. God bless you. Let's move on." But I did have a lot of opportunity to test patience because we drove on highways. And anytime anybody here driven on the interstate and drivers test your patience, especially the worst stretch of road is between Indianapolis and Terre Haute on I-70. Has anybody driven that? Man, those drivers are terrible. Not you guys. When you're there, you're awesome. But the other drivers were terrible. Once you get past Terre Haute through Illinois, it's wonderful. People know how to drive all of a sudden. You get in St. Louis, they don't. Again, it happens. It's city driving. And then we went to the City Museum. Anybody in the City Museum in St. Louis? Talk about testing patience there. You got little kids running everywhere in tight little holes and spots. So I'm crawling through these spots. I already told you I don't like small spots. And there's a kid just sitting there right there just waiting in front of me. And there's a line of people behind me. I can't turn around and go anywhere. You want to push them, but you're nice. Yeah, you want to push them, but I didn't. And what is amazing, I just want to let you know that I've never been so proud of someone in my life. I know pride is a sin, so I'm well pleased with them. So I repent for saying proud. But Luke, stand up real quick. Take a look at this guy. Look how tall he is. This man has no bones. He went through spots. I don't know how I got through. Noel just zipped through him. He didn't care. But then I saw Luke, and not just Luke, but his dad, Tim. Oh, man. Go through spots I didn't think they could go through. And then Ken and Deborah went through them. If you saw, I took some pictures, you would be saying yeah, too, because it was pretty amazing. So it just shows that when you live by faith, you can do anything, even contort when you're not a contortionist. But it was pretty amazing. And I'll just tell you that rebar is not good on the knees. And so that's basically what you crawl on most of the time, rebar and concrete. So if you don't want to do that, don't go. But if you do want to have a good time, it's a man-made jungle gym for adults, and it's a lot of fun. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 32. So that was my weekend. And through all that, the Lord was showing me all these marvelous, wonderful examples of how I could be patient. And I must tell you that I failed most of them. Every time, you know, when we wake up, we have an opportunity to excel in faith. Every single time we wake up in every situation with our kids, with our home, with our driving, with our family, with our marriage, and even on vacation, probably especially on vacation. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1 says it like this. We're talking about unbelief and identifying unbelief. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up. Now, first of all, Aaron was in charge. Anybody here have a boss and you just go to him and say, Pastor Adam's my boss? Up. That's a little rude, isn't it? I mean, that's a little disrespectful, right? But that's the first thing he says, up. Up with you, man. Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, again, this is very disrespectful. Unbelief is disrespectful. The man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt. Was he the man that brought him out of Egypt? No, God did. So here they're blaming him. We don't know what has become of him. Now, Moses was up as the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments during this time. And it had been some time had passed, but they were growing impatient. And I'm not going to read the rest of the account. As you read it, they gave up their gold and they made a calf and they worshipped it. Moses came down, was angry, and threw down the Ten Commandments. And he had to go back up. So they had to be tried for their patience again. Now they had to wait a second time. You see, when we're impatient, nothing good ever comes out of it. Now they had to wait again, right, to go receive him again. But unbelief is impatient, but faith is patient. You know, I've heard it said growing up in my church, growing up in other church settings, don't pray for patience. Anybody ever heard that? Oh, because you'll be tested. You'll get it. Well, but that's foolishness. Because patience is a fruit of the Spirit. I don't have to pray for what's already inside of me. What I need to pray for is, Lord, help me be led by the Spirit more, and then patience will just manifest itself because he's inside of me. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Doesn't it sound silly to pray for something to be less like God? You know, or to not pray for it? Well, I can't pray for patience because then I'll be tested. Well, then you're just not going to be like God in the area. It says in his word that he's a God of patience. And so we know that it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, patience. We have as much faith as we do patience. It's not enough to believe. We have to believe until. We have to stand and confess until. We have to expect and hope in God until. We just sang it today. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. It said he shall return. Are we not patiently awaiting his return? If we quit now, if we give up now, it's like we never believed at all. So faith and patience, they go together. So what is patience? Let's identify here for a second. Patience is not a passive, depressed biding of time. That's not patience of the Bible. Right? Oh, well, I guess I better have patience. One day my kids won't talk back. No, I'm going to actively teach them how to not talk back, right? I'm not going to patiently wait for them just to figure it out, okay? All right? Patiently waiting is not just sitting there letting them go around and be crazy all the time until they figure it out. No, when I taught school, the first thing we did on day one is I taught a lesson. I never gave rules on day one because every teacher did that and kids hated it, right? So when they came to my class, I tried to do something fun and engaging. But day two, I would go over the rules of the class, right? I didn't patiently wait for them to figure out how to behave in my classroom. They would never figure it out. I'm telling you, I taught middle school 14 years. They wouldn't figure that part out. You have to teach them and show them. That's not patience. That's the world's idea. We don't do it the way the world does. Patience that accompanies faith in the Bible is a cheerful endurance that even binds our soul. It keeps us together, believe it or not. Well, just believe it. Let's skip out the not part. We're not waiting to see what happens, but we're faithfully expecting an outcome. Patience is a persistence. It is not quitting. It is not giving up. We can't get tired. We can't believe God is real. We can't believe God real strong for just 2 days and then quit. If you believe God real strong for something 2 days and quit, you get the same thing as if you never believed him at all. Right? We have to have patience. We can't quit because it gets hard or we don't see results or because people say things that are contrary to our faith. Right? This is the temptation we have against our faith and against our patience. It's when we get a report from somebody. Well, you can't buy that home. Your credit's not good enough. Well, what are you going to do about it? You're going to become depressed about it? You're going to be patient until it gets better? No, you have to actively do things to make your credit score better, right? And so you can't just sit there waiting to do nothing. It's the same thing with healing. Or let's say, you know, maybe you want to, you know, lose some weight or get better shape. I just told them on vacation when I'm going through the city museum, you know what I realized? I am not in shape at all. And I need to work out more. That's all I realized, because just lifting my own body weight through all these contortions, I was so sore. Yesterday, I'm like, man, that's pathetic. You would think, you know, that I was in more shape than that, but I'm definitely not. I can't just sit at home and patiently wait to grow bigger muscles. Anybody know it doesn't work that way? It doesn't work that way. You have to go and actively resist against your muscles. So same thing with patience. When you are tried or tempted to be impatient, that's a way to resist against your patience. That builds it. Just like putting weight against your muscles is a resistance, builds your muscles. That's how we can build our patience. The problem is most of us just skip the gym on patience every single time. We get mad driving the car instead of exercising our patience. I do it all the time. Ask Kendall. I'm just telling myself. I'm like, oh, these guys don't know how to drive. And then I whip around, and just to show them that they were going too slow, I cut over a little sooner than I probably should have in front of them, let them know. Like, they can read my mind. They just think I'm a jerk, right? And so, you know, but that was an opportunity for you, for me, to resist against our patience so it grows. It's inside of us. We have to realize, we have to be led by the Spirit to know it's inside of us. I can be patient because He is patient. Amen. I know patience is another shouting message, just like unbelief. But believe me, there's joy in it when we see it the way the Lord does it, the way the Lord sees it. We live in an impatient, instant gratification environment. Our world has the attention span of a gnat. Is that true? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. I mean, it's so true. So it's hard to have patience when it's not modeled anywhere in our lives. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Let's take a look at this. For God is not unrighteous, verse 10 says, to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Verse 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence. Now, how many know that diligence isn't usually just a one-time thing, right? To the full assurance of hope unto the end. It's about finishing. It's not about starting. The race that we run, that we are to finish, is an endurance race. It's not a sprint. Verse 12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. How do we inherit the promises? Through faith and patience. It's both. They're tied together. They go hand in hand. When you run out of your patience, you've come to the end of your faith. We inherit the promises through faith and patience. We live a life of convenience. We even have things called convenience stores. Why? Because the grocery store was too far. So somewhere between here and the grocery store, they put a convenience store. Right? It's convenient for you. We have ATMs, drive-thrus. We have call-ahead pickup, overnight delivery, same-day shipping. I mean, we don't want to wait. Wait is a four-letter word. It's the worst four-letter word to our flesh that there is. Right? Maybe we need to put a drive-thru window at our church. While I'm in here speaking to you, Pastor Adams over there next to the hallway, people driving by, bless you, my son. Bless you, my son. Healed in Jesus' name. I mean, that's the environment that we live in. Come on. Isn't that, how can we see patience in this world if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to show it to us? We're not going to see it around us, and we are not putting it in a drive-thru window. I promise you that. Okay? If that ever happens, please, an elder, come to our meetings and say no. Hebrews chapter 6, let's keep reading, verse 12. I just read 12. We're going to read it again. We're going to go to 15. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, verse 14, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. When it says the word surely, blessing I will bless thee, when the Lord says surely, that's a promise. It means it will come to pass. Blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. The word multiplying is not usually an overnight thing, not even for rabbits. Okay? Multiplying takes time. It wasn't like surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I'll multiply thee, and then bam, Abraham's seed was as the sand or as the stars. No, it didn't happen that way, did it? We're not going to go through the entire story of Abraham, but he waited. It says in verse 15, he patiently endured. He obtained a promise. Is he not the father of our faith? If this is how it worked for Abraham, is that not how it's going to work for us? Do we need to patiently endure some things in our lives? Yes. Hallelujah. I'll shout. Yes. Amen. The key is knowing that the promises were obtained. Through faith and patience, they inherited the promises. We have our part. We got to believe in faith. We got to be patient through faith. And we know that the outcome is the promises of God that he has for us. Right? Verse 15, he patiently endured. That wasn't a clap-on experience. I never had to clap on lights, but I always thought they were a good idea. Instantaneous light from anywhere in the room. Now you have Wi-Fi. Just touch your phone and lights go on. That's how we do it here at the church, right? But it wasn't, you know, he didn't just clap on. All of a sudden, there was Isaac. It didn't happen that way. We can't be, Lord, I got to go. Let's get through this. And whammy, just get on with it, God. No. It says, those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They run and they won't get weary. Our flesh starts to demand and require instant gratification because that's what our flesh sees all the time. If it's not immediate, we get tired and we get weary. We get frustrated and want to quit because we don't see any results. Someone comes to me and say, man, will you just believe with me? I've been standing and believing that God will open a door for my job. How long have you been standing? 2 days. Well, Brother Abraham was 25 years, so I'll stand with you, but it may be a while. I just want to let you know. Now, I don't believe that. You know, God is instantaneous as well. He's creative and can do something in an instant. But it also says in the word very clearly here, as the scriptures we go through here, we are to have faith and we are to have patience. They go together. In Galatians chapter 5, it is the fruit of the Spirit, like we mentioned already. It's not something that we should just slide past because we want it instantly to gratify our flesh. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to stay in Hebrews here for a minute. Verse 35. You know, the word try is not in the Bible. That's when it comes to us and what we ought to do in the name of Jesus. It didn't say go and try to make disciples, did it? He said, go and make disciples. It says, these signs follow them who believe. It didn't say, try to have these signs follow you if you believe. It doesn't say, try. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. This is a faith word, confidence. Which hath great recompense of reward. It means that your confidence pays off a lot. Okay, the King James verbiage can get a little tricky. It just means it pays off a lot. For we have need of patience. That after we have done the will of God, we might receive the promises. We got to be careful not to apply the natural gimme, gimme now to the things of the Spirit. It doesn't work that way. It says, after you have done the will. That doesn't sound instantaneous, does it? A farmer doesn't sow a seed and then expect to harvest it the very next day. But he has faith. He expects, and he's patient to see the shoots come up. And there's a time frame he's looking at, obviously. But it's not like this. I have an acorn in my pocket. I'm going to plant. Oh, back up. Once I throw this in the ground, you're going to see an oak tree at 40 feet. No, I can plant the acorn here. And we know it's going to be a while, but we expect an oak tree to come forth. An oak tree that will provide great shade and strength and stability. I'm not saying anything but shade. After you have done his will, you think about the promise of God. It says, you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Shall recover is a promise of God. Does that mean it's instantaneous? Maybe. Does that mean it may have to faithfully, patiently endure? Maybe. But what we do know is you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We have to believe that and not doubt in our heart. That is God's word that comes to pass. It is a promise. You know, in my life, I've shared this many times. I've had an issue with a bulging disc that pinched the nerve, a herniated disc in my back. Couldn't sit down for a little while. It was very painful. It's horrible. It's the worst pain I've ever felt. During that summer when that happened, I was supposed to go get my master's, and it was 3.5 hours away. I couldn't sit down, so I couldn't drive there, right? So it's 3.5 hours away. I was feeling good enough, finally, where I could go to class, and I would go down there, and I stayed on campus for a week. And I said, okay, Lord, I made it down here. You tested my faith. I'm here. I made it. I'm here for the week. And I totally expected, okay, so this pain can go away when the week's over because I passed the test. I drove back home after the week and the pain wasn't gone. And I got mad. I got upset. I wasn't being patient. I was being impatient. The Lord didn't tell me in a week's time this shall pass. He didn't say that. I said that. My flesh said that. I didn't want to be in pain anymore. I don't believe pain's from the Lord ever. But I got mad. My flesh got mad because it didn't happen in time frame that I set upon the Lord. And that's what happens when we're not patient. We're looking for a give me now. But he says, lay hands and he shall recover. And I did recover. It was longer than what my flesh wanted, but that's the way it usually is. But I did recover. So much to the point where I could go to the city museum and contort myself in many ways and my neck, back, nothing hurts today whatsoever, praise God. But it was, when our flesh is impatient, nothing good ever comes out of it. All we do is get frustrated because we have false expectations. And we put those false expectations, whether we're impatient with our children, whether we're impatient with our spouse, our friends, our boss, our God. And then we just upset ourselves to do that. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. This is scriptures or a parable that most of us know. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 11. Now the parable is this, they ask for the explanation of it. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are those that hear, that come. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are those which hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are those which when they heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But, verse 15, that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. The good ground brings forth fruit with patience. We don't like it. It's like, why'd they have to add that word there in the end, those two words, with patience? But he did, and Jesus did. And as the head of the church, we probably should listen to them. We need to stir up ourselves to be good ground so roots can go deeper. Faith is not a rush, but it's a trust. We must maintain our ground for the duration. We have to believe until we reap. You know, one of our biggest trials of patience is Kendall. I love you, honey. But when she goes in the grocery store and we're all sitting in the van waiting on her, and I'm in there with our three children, right? They're 12, 9, and 6. And they ask me, oh, Dad, why couldn't you go in? Mom takes forever. And I look right at her and I say, is it really forever? Because we'd still be here the last time she went to the grocery store. If you don't know me, I'm real big on literal. I don't like the words always, forever, never, everybody, everyone, because it's rarely the case. Unless you're talking about Jesus, like he can never lie. We can say that. It's okay. Or all things are possible for him. Those are where we use those words. But she goes, she just takes forever. I'm like, no, she doesn't take forever. She'll be coming. And then they ask again, is mom here yet? When is she coming? I said, look, you just asked 2 minutes ago. Here's what I do know. She's closer to coming back than 2 minutes ago. That's it. That's all I can tell you in truth and faith. That's all I know. I said, she's been in there for 10. We know that it's 10 minutes closer to return than it was 10 minutes ago. And it's the same way with the Lord. When's he coming back? I don't know, but we're closer than anybody's ever been. Right? Right now, we're closer than anybody's ever been. You know, if you've been believing for something upon the Lord, are you not closer today than you were yesterday? Do we ever look at it in those eyes or in those terms? But if we do, we can just know, hey, we patiently endured one more day. Today is just another day we'll patiently endure. Waiting, expecting, doing our part. It says, after you have done the will of God, right? Then we obtain the promises. We need to water the ground of our heart with the word of God. What is it that you're patiently waiting for right now? Or maybe you've been impatient, and now that we've exposed that as unbelief, now you're patient, right? Because there's forgiveness for unbelief. But what do we need to water the ground for? If you are patiently waiting for healing, then water it with healing scriptures. You know, I have a CD, and it has some really cheesy music on it, but the words are phenomenal. It's a Kenneth Hagin CD, and it's just healing scriptures, and it goes through, how we're redeemed from the curse, and it goes through all the times Jesus healed in the Bible. I put that in there. I ignore the music, and I listen to the words. It's hard. You know, I enjoy the CD. But, you know, I don't do that all the time. But if I'm going through something, I want to continue. I don't want my mind to dwell upon pain or anything else I'm going through. I just want to hear what is truth. And so I just put that in. If you're waiting, you know, if you want to build your faith and grow your faith, then water the ground of your heart with faith scriptures. If you want to, you know, grow in the things of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit or speaking in other tongues or any gifts, manifestations of the Spirit, then water the ground of your heart with the scriptures about the Holy Spirit and who He is for you in your life. What about finances? You've been standing, you've been waiting, patiently enduring. Water the ground of your heart with the scriptures of God's blessing and God's prosperity and how He meets your needs as you seek the kingdom of God. Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. He says always. If the Bible says always, then we can say always. It says always causes us to triumph. That I know is true. I may not see the triumph at this moment, but I know just like Jesus who patiently endured because he saw the end of the cross, what was on the other side, we know we can do it. We know we can go through. We know we can be patient. Psalm 105:17. You may ask, how long? I've been standing on this one word for a really long time. How long do I have to stand? Well, we believe until. We stand until. Ephesians says, having done all, stand. Right? It doesn't say stand and then sit back down. It just says stand. And then you just go on until you don't need to stand anymore. Psalm 105:17 says this. He sent a man before them. Talking about God sent a man before him, Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried Joseph. The word of the Lord tried Joseph. It tried him. Joseph had a dream or a vision of the moon and the stars, right, bowing down to him. And after that happened, his brothers betrayed him. He was lied on. He was forgot about. He was cheated. But he believed. He didn't quit. The word was trying him. He believed the word would come to pass. If it hasn't happened for you yet, it's not over yet. You're still breathing. You're still drawing breath, right? Jesus is still on the throne. We can still believe. It's not too late. Nothing is impossible for him. All things are possible for those who believe. These are scriptures. These are what we can stand upon. These are truth. There is no other truth. If somebody comes to you and says something different than what's in the Bible, I believe the Bible, right? Believe his word and all else a liar. If something that somebody's telling you is not lining up with what God's word says, choose God's word. If you don't understand God's word, then seek wise counsel. Who will use God's word and explain and expound and disciple you in that area. If someone comes to me and they're struggling in a certain area in their lives, I may not help them that night at all. I say, well, I didn't know what you were going to talk about. I was praying in the spirit. I'll give them what I have right then and there. I said, meet with me again in 2 weeks. Meet with me again in a week if you can't wait that long. Give me a time to go, pray, intercede for you, and expound upon it in the scriptures and come to you with truth. My words are not going to help you. Man's words are not going to deliver you. Man's words are not going to provide for you, but God's will. God's word is the only truth. It says the word tried Joseph. You say maybe in your heart, I tried sowing and reaping. It didn't work. You say, I tried healing. It didn't work. I tried tithing. It didn't work. But the word is trying us. See, faith is not trying. Faith is trusting. How are we doing? How patient are we? How do we inherit the promises? Through faith and through patience. I'm going to ask the praise and worship team to go ahead and come on back up here. We do it through faith and through patience. Galatians chapter 6. Whatever it is you laid down that you believed on for a while, it is not too late to pick it back up. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It's probably up there, but I want to read it in my Bible. Because I have notes next to it, and I don't have notes on that screen up there. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Why would he need to say, let us not grow weary, if we weren't going to be tempted to grow weary? Why would he not say, let us grow weary and do not faint, if we weren't going to be tempted to quit or to give up or to faint? Remember, Jesus was tempted in every way that we were tempted, yet without sin. Was he ever tempted in weariness? Well, he was led by the Holy Spirit to go in the desert, and he was there for a long time without eating, and then the devil came and tempted him. I'd imagine he was pretty weary. But he didn't give in, and he didn't quit. And he overcame that temptation. You see, it says here, in due season. And due season is always, almost always later than when our flesh would like to have it. Our flesh is a now, yesterday even kind of thing. But due seasons, that's through faith and that's through patience. It says, we shall reap. This is a promise. If we do not faint, we do not quit, we do not give up, if we do not lose heart, we shall reap. What is it you are believing on? What does God's word say about your situation? What is he speaking to your heart? You're like, I don't know what it says about your situation. Well, that's where we need to start. If you don't know and it seems a little daunting to just open up the Bible and start flipping through the index on a scripture search or a word study or search, that's why you have leaders and elders and pastors and friends who are godly to give you wise counsel according to his word. You're not meant to do it alone. It never says in the Bible, go do everything alone. A man is an island unto himself. I don't think that's in the Bible. No, that's not the way we are supposed to do. Please stand with me. 2 Timothy says, let us finish the race. How can we know that we can finish the race? Because he loves us. He loves us, and he'll do everything he can in his power for us to not fail. We choose too often to quit or to give up on a thing. Not him. 2 Peter says, add to your faith patience, and in that context, endurance. Add to your faith endurance. When your patience runs out, it's also the end of our faith. We have to believe God until unbelief is impatient. Unbelief gets tired and gets quit and wearies. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. This is the last scripture I'll show you here today. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are the cloud of witnesses? He just talked about in verse 11. Right? The men of faith that are in that chapter. Abraham, Moses, Noah, it goes on and on. We are compassed by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In majesty, he's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. We are to be looking unto Jesus instead of the time frame that we set on God to do something. We are to be looking to Jesus instead of our symptoms. We are to be looking to Jesus instead of what man says or their traditions or their beliefs. Have you ever seen the movie Shrek, the very first one? I know. We're spiritual, then we go to Shrek. But there's a great spiritual context in this, right? So Shrek and Donkey are going to save the princess from the dragon. Because Shrek wants his swamp back. And all of a sudden, they come across a suspended bridge that goes across this chasm. And Shrek starts walking on it, and the donkey stops. He's afraid. He's scared. He doesn't have faith he'll make it to the other end of the chasm. And so Shrek's like, come on, it's fine. He's jumping on whatever it is. And he finally looks at the donkey. He starts talking to him. And starts walking backwards as he's talking to him. The donkey's only looking at one thing. Donkey's looking at Shrek in the eyes. The donkey's just looking at Shrek the whole time. Shrek's talking to him about other things. Encouraging him, distracting him so he's not in fear. And finally, all of a sudden, Shrek stops and looks at him. And he goes, that'll do, donkey. Why? He made it across the chasm. Why? Because he was looking at him the whole time. That's the way we are to be, not looking at our circumstances, but looking to Jesus the whole time. He will cause us to triumph. If we continually looking at Jesus, we can be patient and not quit. He sent us his Holy Spirit who runs this race with us. He leads us and guides us, directs us. He is the power of God in us, and we can do what he's asking. We can believe with patience according to his will and by God's grace. Why do we see such highs and lows after special conference meetings or camps? I know for me, when I would go to church camp when I was a kid, I'd be so excited for a week or two. Well, what ran out? Did God's power run out? Did he quit? No, I did. I was weary. I had no foundation. I heard it. I was excited, but had no root. I wasn't stirring up my ground. I wasn't watering with a word. I was expecting the camp to fix all my problems at that issue that I had at the time. And camp doesn't do that. It's not about starting the race. It's about finishing the race. Where we are a year from now, 2 years from now, 10 years from now, that matters. That matters. That's patiently enduring, right? By faith and patience, we inherit the promises. If you left something you were believing for, it's okay to go back and pick it up. Don't cast your confidence away. We read that scripture. It'll pay off. It'll pay off greatly, the word says. What have you started and given up on? It's not too late. Don't be weary. Run with patience. Believe again and look to Jesus. As we pray and we'll worship one more time before we leave. If there's something that you've given up on, something that you were believing for and it never came to pass in your life, if it was truly God's word, God's will for your life, he hasn't changed. He doesn't change. The Bible's clear on that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lord God Almighty. He doesn't change. We've changed. Circumstances have changed, but he's not changed. So today I challenge you, where we've been impatient and given up on a thing, that as we pray, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance something you were believing for, something that you laid down, something you thought was too late to come to pass. He'd bring it to your remembrance and instill in you again the faith you once had for it. And now you can add patience to your faith and you can obtain the promise. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you. God, that your word says that we not only can be patient, but we have patience already in us. It is the fruit of your Holy Spirit inside of us. Just like we can love, truly love according to your word, we can have patience according to you. Just like we can have joy according to your word, we can be patient. Just as we can have faith according to your word, we can be patient as well in Jesus' name. Father God, I just pray that you would show to us, reveal to us by your Spirit today, those things in our life that we let go of, that we were impatient for. Maybe we got angry with you, Lord God. Please forgive us in our ignorance. Lord God, maybe we got to be in unbelief or harden our heart towards something because it didn't come to pass in a time frame that we thought it should come to pass. Please forgive us, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you that you are merciful, that you are full of grace, that you love us, that you care for us. Lord, that you speak it to us. It is truth that we can never, never doubt. In Jesus' name, amen.